I want to talk to you today about something that I've been thinking about in my own life. Is that okay? And I think it's appropriate, especially this time of the year, that we talk about it. It's been interesting to me how often in Scripture that God just miraculously intervenes in the lives of people. The Scripture that was just read here, it's an echo back through time of the angel Gabriel coming to earth and talking to Zacharias. And he said, "Now, Zacharias, you are not going to be able to speak because you did not believe the truth. You did not believe that your wife would have a child. And because of that, we are going to intervene, or God is going to intervene in your life." This time of the year, you have a lot of voices speaking to you about the birth of Christ. But you have very few voices speaking to you about the death of Christ. And even fewer voices talking about the return of Christ. And it's appropriate to give attention to Christ's birth. And I wish to do that this morning, but I'm not going to spend all of our time on that area. But it is interesting how that God purposefully commissioned the angel Gabriel at a particular time. It says here in Luke chapter 1 that in the sixth month, Gabriel went to visit Mary. And he gave Mary the news, "You have been chosen to become the mother of the Christ child." And he explains to her as much as he could at that time. If you go to Matthew chapter 1, the same angel shows up again at a particular place, at a particular time, to a particular person with a particular message. Joseph is thinking about Mary having this baby, and in his sleep that night, he had a dream. And in the dream, he was told, "Don't be afraid. Everything's going to be okay. You go ahead and marry Mary. It's part of the plan. It's going to be okay." I don't know if there's any way God could direct a thought or a conversation to someone any more clearly than he did to Joseph and also to Mary. And so they unite their lives together. How their families felt about all that's going on, we don't have much of that information. There came an appropriate time, though, for the Christ child to be born. They traveled down to Nazareth. But the story there doesn't focus only or solely on Mary and Joseph and the Christ child. There came a time when shepherds were out in the field keeping watch over their flock. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember this part of a sermon last year in December? Peggy's laughing. Let me give you a hint. I asked them a similar question in Ranger. And they failed the test. I said, "Do you remember me talking about the shepherd that was left after all the other shepherds left to go find Christ?" Do any of you remember that story? Elila does. Good. You've passed the test. Wait till I tell Ranger. The news comes. God sends a particular group of angels in this angelic choir at a particular time, in a particular way, to a particular place, to a special group of men. And the angels give a unique message. The message is, Jesus is born today. Peace on the earth, goodwill toward men. Everybody should be happy. And you can find the Christ child if you want to go look for him. And he will be lying in a manger and he will be wrapped in these white cloths. So after that mighty explosion in the sky faded away, the shepherds spoke to each other and conversed together, decided to go find the Christ child, but somebody had to stay behind and take care of the sheep. I just thought I'd bring that up this morning. So here we have at least four different times and places when God miraculously sent the angels and in a vision, in a dream. Actually, it's more if we count Zacharias, isn't it? And he did it all purposefully, intentionally, so that those people would hear and understand a particular message. The message was that the Christ child has been born. He has come. He's on time. He's on schedule. Things are going to be okay. The Christ child grows up. There's only one verse, and we read this verse every year during the Christmas season. It says, and the child grew, and he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Isn't that just, that's good writing. He becomes older and a little older and more older. Those angels must have waited with great expectation to really see what kind of ministry he was going to have. They saw his work as a teacher. He sat beside the Sea of Galilee and taught. They saw his goodwill and his passion to help the needy and to bring healing to the sick. Why, they even watched as he brought the dead back to life. And then as his ministry came to a close, they watched as he was crucified, placed in the tomb. They watched as he rested. He came out of the tomb, walked among men, a few days later ascended into heaven. That's one half of the story. Now, up to this point, any one of you could have really shared this story in a sermon from the pulpit. Any one of you here, you know the basics of the birth of Christ. Conversation between Gabriel and Joseph and Gabriel and Mary and Gabriel and that mighty host of angels that came to share with the shepherds those songs. You've been hearing this for years. But that's the problem. It's become too familiar. whoever invented Pandora Radio, I hope they go to heaven. I would like to meet them. Because oftentimes I'll go to sleep with my little phone playing music. And I love Christmas music. Too bad we only sing it, you know, a few weeks out of the year, but it's just so uplifting and so so joyful, most of it anyway. But none of those songs go past where I've gone today, right here. This would be a seasonal sermon fitting for today if I just stopped right here and drew some lessons from what we've already talked about. I want to go somewhere else. Go to the book of Hebrews with me. This is what's on my mind. And you know, as pastor, I try to take my mask off as much as I can. Do any of you remember a sermon here that I gave? I believe it was June 12th, 2012. And the only reason I remember the date is that I was looking through some paperwork yesterday and I saw the bulletin, okay? if it wasn't in June, it was close to there. But the sermon was titled, "Is God Ashamed of Me?" Well, that was taking off the mask too. Are you in Hebrews chapter 2? Here's the take home for the day. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, therefore, what's the next word? Now, if I'm standing up here and I say we, It means myself and Sherry and Ed. It means all of this side. It's the we. It means all of that side. Therefore, we need to do something. Therefore, we, which is all of us, what's the next word? I think sometime in the past I've preached on the seven must of the New Testament. If not, I've read the sermon. You've probably seen it too, Bruce. The must, the Lord Himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. Then in Corinthians it talks about how that the dead in Christ must rise first. This mortality must put on immortality. Several must in the Bible. When it says that, it's non-negotiable. It means it's just got to happen some way. Therefore, because you know all of the Christmas story and you know the story of salvation, we, or you, or I, therefore we must give. That sounds like Christmas. It's giving here. Oh, but hold on. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. I think it is possible to become numbed by hearing the same story over and over. It should not be. It should not occur. The holiday season is more than the birth of Christ. It takes His life all the way through birth and through His death, and through His resurrection, but also it brings Him back down to us again and takes us up to be where He is. Are you aware that up to this part of the sermon today, there's really not much you can do about it? All of those events that happened back then, to the shepherds being out in the field, to Mary having the Christ child, to the conversation with Joseph, and even with Zacharias, and the birth of John the Baptist, all of that's historical. It's informational. It's not really experiential. But as we move on this side of the cross, after Christ has died, ascended into heaven, and especially for us with the New Testament in print, what we read helps become experiential to us. We don't just talk about it. We experience it. What's the take home here then, Stover? Okay, listen. In verse 1 of Hebrews 2, it says that we must give more attention to what we hear and to what we know, or we will drift away. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I want you to think about this today. We have one way out of this particular life. Roy mentioned a while ago that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Certainly this world in its present condition is not our home. And I wouldn't want to live forever here. It's filled with too much pain. There is no answer to that statement. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We really should give intentional and purposeful thought to the Christmas story in the sense that it can live on and continue as we let Christ live in us. It doesn't really matter how He was born or if the angels came or any of that if we refuse to receive Him. He's offering tremendous benefits. And if we neglect it, then that's a very bad thing. And I think for people that know so much, and I've told you this before, we know a lot of Bible. Seventh-day Adventists can be proud of being people of the Bible. But by hearing it so often and so, I wouldn't even use the word frivolously. That's not the right word at all. But we do not want it to come to the place where it loses its specialness. To experience Christ is a wonderful thing. To experience Him a while is even greater. To experience Christ for eternity is the greatest of all. I want to close with an illustration. We don't talk baseball or politics from the pulpit, right? But I think this illustration will be appropriate. I don't know if the deal went through. It was on the table yesterday. There's a second baseman who plays for the New York Yankees. I'm in trouble now because the Yankee fans are here. He was being offered a contract with the Mariners. He wanted 9 years. They offered 10. $240 million. That's almost as much as I make. Could you live on $240 million? I think we could. I think we could all live on it. This is just a small earthly illustration here. But he will never go from his, I think he makes 160 or 170 million now. Anyway, he will never move from that amount of money into the 240 million unless the documents are signed and he begins to play for the Mariners. He has to experience what it means to put on the uniform, to stand under the lights, to hear the cheer from the stadium. He has to play with the team. He has to be with them. The same illustration works for us. We know how to play religion. We tell our children the story about Christmas and the purpose for giving and this beautiful Star of Bethlehem. But unless we're careful, we lose sight of eternity with Jesus, and the devil robs us of the joy that's ours. He does it in a unique way. Not all of a sudden, but very slowly. Maybe that's the reason he says here that unless we give heed to the more earnest things, We must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. We begin to drift slowly out of the church, slowly away, not in big movements, but drifting along away. All right. Our scripture reading today was the angel talking to Zacharias, remember? And the angel said, you're going to receive a little punishment here because you did not believe. He didn't say you're going to go to the bad place, but he just says you're going to, you know, not be able to talk for a while. Aren't you grateful God doesn't do that to us today? And yet in the big picture, God calls us in a divine way, just like He spoke to those people that we've been talking about today. God speaks to you, and He allows you to choose whether or not you are going to believe Him. I read the text to Anna from 1 Peter 5. After you have suffered a while, God's going to do it. He's going to establish you. He's going to settle you. Hey, let's sing a song. It's hymn number 130. And in so doing, let the power of God's spoken word remain in your thinking. Let the words of this song bring a decision to your heart in an appeal that the story has not gotten old. The reward of eternal life has not gotten old, but it's just as real today as it's ever been, and God wants you to enjoy that for the rest of your life. Come, Sherry, please.